This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, February 17, 2019. Septuagesima Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I take great pains, every time I'm up here, to explicitly, implicitly, however I may need, to emphasize the reality of our faith, to emphasize that it is something objective. I use that term frequently, objective. Something that is not influenced by personal feelings or an opinion. It's a dictionary definition. Objectivity. Our faith is something that is what it is. It must be presented that way. St. Paul presents it that way in the second reading today, in the context of Christ's resurrection. And on this day, as you have well noticed, we are entering into the pre-Lenten season. The pre-Lenten season, the three Sundays before Ash Wednesday, has always been presented by the Church throughout her history as a preparation time for Lent. That is how important Lent is that is how much we should be engaged in it, that there should be 3 weeks of preparation beforehand. In that preparation, we are getting a picture of reality. We must present our faith. Really. It has to be infused to our nature in the Mass. There are realities behind the way we present things. There are realities by what is worn, the actions that are made, what is said and done in the Mass. It all shows a picture of a reality in which we live, whether we like it or not. It is unfortunate that in our day that it has become a paradigm in many places within the Church to present a faith that is accommodating to the whim and will of society, something that is presented to others to make them like us. Guess what? Wrong. We are not here to make people like us. Our Lord Jesus Christ never dialogued with anyone. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The scripture readings today, the first one from Jeremiah chapter 5, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man." We should have nothing for them save the salvation of their souls. And the salvation of their souls can be in no way attractive to them if we make them in any way, shape, or form think for a moment that they can live a life that does not embrace the resurrected Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what Jeremiah means under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man." Well, that's the Old Testament. God was so stodgy back then. Now we have Jesus. Well, what does Jesus say? Jesus presents reality in the gospel reading today. He presents a reality that we are in a place that is not good. We're in a place where we need to keep our eyes set on something better. "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now. You will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." Bad, good. Here's bad. The kingdom is better. Jesus doesn't leave it with, blessed are you. We also get a little list of, woe be to you. Woe to you that are full now, for you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. It ought not be our desire that all men speak well of us. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself says, woe to you if they do. They should not like what you present. I mean, it's going to happen in our own families. Well, you became a fanatic with this stuff. All I ever hear is Catholicism. I hear regularly, and this is from well-meaning and faithful people, isn't there a limit? I mean, can't you be too Catholic? Can't you? No. No, you can't. You know what? One up Jesus Christ. You can't do it. We're never going to be more holy than God. We're never going to be more Christian than Christ. We've got to present what he tells us, his revelations to us, objectively. That has always been expressed in our liturgy. And as I said earlier, we do everything that we do in here. Everything that is worn, every action, everything that is said, moments of silence, they all give us a picture of something, a picture of reality. You can't miss it. Come in here today. Well, I went to St. such and such, there was a vigil mass, and they still have green. That's their business. The church is historically set 3 weeks apart for preparation for Lent. That's what we do. That's what the church has always done. There's a reality there, this picture that Lent paints for us, and it points forward to the resurrected Christ, objectively. If you look at the 1962 Roman Missal, read about Septuagesima, which is what this day is called, this first Sunday in pre-Lent. We don't do this in Mass, and we don't do this in Mass during this period as we prepare for Lent. And it gives this very succinct statement. Because man is victim of the sin of Adam and of his own sins and is justly afflicted, groans and sorrows encompass him. That's reality. That is reality. It flies in the face of the motivational speaking that we get a lot. I won't name the title of the book. They're not so popular now, but for several years, it was just, millions have been sold. Millions have been sold. It's a Catholic book. And the reason millions were sold, because the guy is nothing less than, I won't name names, he's nothing less than a Catholic Joel Osteen. He's a motivational speaker. Hey, we're all great. God's great. We'll all hang out together and be great one with another, and everything's great. No, it's not. The only truth of that is God is great. We're not. We're working on it, or should be. We're not great. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Christ has given us every opportunity, every possibility to live eternally with him, but we have to do our part and cooperate with those graces. That's the reality. Spiritual warfare, spiritual struggle. That's why we have the liturgical cycle. I don't like Lent. It's reality. It's reality. We have to have ourselves mentally prepared for this life that is not nice. That's why you don't see and hear things in Mass from now until the Easter Vigil, unless it's a solemnity. You don't hear the Gloria in Excelsis. Why not? I love the Gloria. Yeah, you should. One commentator said that there is nothing that can exceed the beauty of its expression, because it expresses God's holiness, what he's done for us, the joy that we should understand of being his servants. Then why don't we say it? Because there are times in our life when it seems like God might not be there. And we can't make like it doesn't happen. It is going to happen to us. We are going to face the tribulations of this world. And there is going to be no reason whatsoever to rejoice in that particular situation. We're going to be brought low. The Alleluia. You will not hear that word from now until the Easter Vigil. After Easter, we actually times three Alleluia. Alleluias are almost, it's like, man, how many Alleluias can you say? That's after the resurrection. The picture of this whole journey is looking forward to the resurrection, the resurrected Christ. Alleluia is a joyous acclamation. It has no definition. It's like trying to define hooray. No definition. It's an acclamation. It is joyous. And there are times in our life when there is no joy. And you know what? Sometimes they are extended periods of a life. Sometimes, because of a horrendous event, we may never experience the joy that we had prior to that event. It doesn't negate the fact that Christ is risen and we look at him for our consolation. But the reality is that we are going to be confronted with some things that overwhelm us. That's what the liturgy has always tried to present to people. Just the prayers and the scripture readings that happened before the homily. The sorrows of death came about me. The pains of hell got hold of me. We who are justly punished for our offenses. The Lord will be our refuge in time of trouble. Out of the deep have I called unto thee. The depths of sin. It's a reality. We are sinners. We sin every day in thought, word, and deed against his divine majesty. There are consequences to sin that we can negate by what he has provided in the confessional. What we can be strengthened to persevere against by the sacrament of the altar. But liturgically, reality is presented to us. I don't like hearing about sin, and I want to hear about Jesus' mercy. There is no reason for his mercy without his justice. We had a year of mercy a few years ago. I'm waiting for the year of justice. They go hand in hand. They must. Because, like I said, there is no reason for his mercy without his justice. And his justice hangs over our heads because we are yet sinners. That is why the reality is not only liturgical, it's the way with Catholics live their faith. Should we get a bad rap by so many others for our endeavors in self-denial? Newsflash, self-denial is good. Works of corporal penance gain you merit in heaven. Works of corporal mercy gain you merit with our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to live a life in this world of moderation. You know, people hear self-denial. I don't want to stop this. I don't want to stop that. It's not talking about stopping things necessarily, although that in and of itself is meritorious. But moderation. Because when we exhibit moderation in our lives, what Lent emphasizes, when we exhibit moderation in our lives, we are proving to ourselves and to God that we have control over what we want. What I want here, what I want now. Guess what? You may not get it. You should still look to the risen Christ. Even when you think you deserve or need something, he knows what you need. He knows what you need. So we live a life that's practical in our moderation, or should. Because when we live this practical life of moderation, it gives us a little bit of mental prep. We are mentally prepared for the bad things that come in life. And they will come. Not may. They will. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, in this world you will have tribulation. Fear not, for I have overcome the world. You know, tribulation sounds so churchy. What does he mean? The burdens of this life? The day-to-day burdens, the burdens of memory, of loss, the burdens of fill in the blank, the burdens that you experience in life, day to day, the afflictions of life. I didn't want to get that phone call from the doctor that said I had that, or this is going to happen, or this is what I need to do. If you live to get older, that's going to happen. Come to my office. We'll talk about that. Add some stories. Okay? It's real. It's going to happen. We're going to be afflicted. The blows of this world. The blows of this world. There's someone in this parish, and she was here. My God, people of faith, they are so encouraging to me occasionally. Husband goes in for minor surgery. Everything went excellent with the surgery. Recovery's going great in the surgery. He's doing phenomenal. He was at Mass last week. He reached down to pick something up this week and bumped his head hard enough to cause a brain bleed, and they are going to take him off life support this afternoon or tomorrow morning. And she's sitting in here this morning. And when I was with her this week in the hospital to watch her still be able to give a chuckle and a giggle occasionally to friends that were in there, that is someone who has prepared themselves for what is happening in their life. He is not even dead yet, and I got the first text this morning talking vaguely about funerals. That is being prepared. That is what this is all about. That is what Lent is about. You need to focus your attention on that. You need to engage with it really. This nonsense about the Fridays in Lent are days of fasting. And you know, every single day during Lent has historically been a day of fasting. Fridays has been just what you do all the time. Lent has become not an endeavor. And it should be an endeavor because it makes our life of faith a reality for a big chunk of time. It's there for a reason, because it prepares us. This is the picture of Lent. This is why we prepare for the next 3 weeks for Lent. This is why we live our faith, not just read about it, not just talk about it, not just leave it for the Mass times on Sunday, but live it every moment of every day. In the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.